Springfield's Talk 1041 and a good Thursday morning. I'm Nick Reed. It is Thursday. We will have Christy Fulnecki joining us in mere moments. TurnersRockLiving.com. If you haven't either stopped by the brand new addition, quite an addition, if I may say so myself, to Springfield, you can do so either virtually by going to TurnersRockLiving.com, get a tour, call 520-8204. Or you can swing by and just meet with the folks there. It's over off of Sunshine and 65, just east of 65. And it is a community center, but it's a senior community center, unlike one that you've probably ever seen before. It's more resort style, all-inclusive, if you will. 1-2-3-room luxury apartments with 1-2-3 bathrooms, respectively. 10 to 12 foot high ceilings, maintenance, full, you got housekeeping, a restaurant on site with, not the old cafeteria style stuff. You got a menu with servers and a host or hostess, a movie theater, game room, rooftop pub, a bistro, a salon, resort style pool. It's just an incredible facility, and I definitely recommend that you check it out. As people retire today, it's not like retiring 30, 40 years ago where retiring meant sit in a chair and just, wait out the rest of your life. Many of you are still very active, and you may not want to deal with the upkeep of a home, but you certainly aren't ready to sit down and just let your final days wind down. This is a perfect opportunity for you. TurnersRockLiving.com. Jason Ryman now with the latest news update. KTTS First Alert Forecast, sponsored by St. Clair of the Ozarks Home Improvements. Drizzle, snow. Today, a high of 37. Low tonight of 27. 36 and cloudy tomorrow with some sun Saturday and a high of 37 expected there. It is 34 and cloudy. Let's see what line we got here. And it is Thursday, which means we have Christy Fulnecki with us. What's up?
Hey. You know, I had this dream that I don't know if I'm still in a nightmare or what. I don't know what's going on.
Right.
I don't even know where to start, right?
I know.
Well, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. Yeah, I don't think I've even spoken to you since before the
I know,
New Year.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Been a while. Few weeks.
Right. Yeah, I think so.
Must have been rough for you.
Christmas and New Year's and Yeah, that's right. Well, I needed to take a break from politics. And then we come back and everything just worked out so great.
Yeah, see what happens?
Yeah.
You take your eye you took your eye off the ball.
Yeah, I know, that's right. It's all my fault. I don't even know where you want to start.
Well, where to start? Yeah, I spent the last hour talking about a couple of different aspects of this and you almost it's weird for me to talk about it because I'm not a journalist, never taken any sort of journalism classes. I've never had any interest in being a journalist. That being said, what has been occurring, and particularly over the last 24 hours, you would think would be a lesson plan in what not to do in journalism. And the assumption, whether it's a genuine assumption or otherwise, that these people who stormed the Capitol were Trump supporters is irresponsible and it's reckless for two reasons.
Yeah.
One, even without a history of knowing that Antifa, part of their MO is to infiltrate Trump events, even just that aside, it is responsible anytime you have an event before you start assigning blame to at least try and wait to figure out who is responsible. But then, and I suppose this goes to the first point, it isn't as if we live in a world where we don't have an Antifa that does this. This is part of what they do. Now, we don't know for sure, although the Washington Times is reporting that a face recognition firm doing, their cross-referencing with Antifa events and so forth, they're saying that they are definitely, to some degree, Antifa was involved with this, according to their software recognition. But it is so reckless, it is so dangerous, it is so absolutely irresponsible to continue to report these as being Trump supporters without knowing that.
Yeah.
And if it turns out to be that way, and that, by the way, is what some of these senators, all of these senators that are condemning the violence, which fine, but there also needs to be a call to find out who is responsible instead of just assuming who is responsible. That's not how we do things. You know, it's funny, whenever there is a terrorist attack, we bend over backwards in our society not to blame Islamic terrorists, you know, and we need to not blame terrorists.
Yeah, that's right.
We can't blame Islam. But the minute something like this happens, it's immediately Trump supporters.
Well, it's interesting because I kind of scrolled around on different conservatives' pages. The only person that I saw question who some of those people were that we had to find out, you know, obviously they all need to be arrested because they're breaking a law. That's what conservatives stand for. And the only person I saw was Sarah Palin that said something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I went on, it was on Twitter, and I went over to share it on Facebook, and it said, this content is not accurate.
Oh, of course. Well, and Sarah and I, we were talking off air, and yesterday, people, they were already posting photos of some, because there were a lot of photos from inside the Capitol, you know, news footage, screen captures, photos, and otherwise. And some of the people were clearly also at Antifa events. And that post, people were posting the photos side by side saying, see, you know, this is somebody that's been with Antifa. And I haven't gone over social media today, but I was telling Sarah, I'm sure that Facebook is going to do everything they can to suppress that information because they don't want people to know that. They want to assign this blame to Trump supporters in order to further this narrative that Trump supporters should be stamped down, they should be arrested, they should be put in jail. And, it, you know, it's scary. It's frightening. I mean, this is, you know, former Soviet-style media propaganda. This is Venezuela. This is North Korea. This is Cuba. This is China. That is what this is. I cannot believe how quickly Democrats and the media have managed to turn America into those countries.
Yeah. Well, you know, and you see people in leadership, politicians who are afraid to say anything else.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, obviously, you know, conservatives, we're the ones that have been saying for the past year that Portland, Seattle, Chicago, all these cities have been burning down, all the violence, New York, you know, and all the threats against the police. You know, and the inner cities, you know, we're consistent when it comes to that. Of course, we're going to condemn the violence because you're breaking the law. So if you're going to be consistent, then all of these politicians should have spoken out against all these cities burning to the ground. But it's like, oh, no, you know, I mean, they had the was it Cuomo's brother, whoever it was last night, was saying, oh, we need to condemn the violence. And then they showed a video of him saying, well, we need the only way that you can make a difference in a protest is if you have violence.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're totally hypocritical. At least we're consistent when it comes to that. And you see, like, these politicians, of course, you're going to condemn the violence, but then you don't hear them say, okay, this is wrong, but we need to find out who this is. And you can't just blame it on Trump supporters because, you know, he's had all of these rallies, peaceful rallies, more than any politician. And, you know, you've had people thrown out and that kind of thing, but you've also had hundreds of thousands of people that have been peaceful.
I tell you, if you go back, I've referenced it a couple times now. I watched that movie, Jojo Rabbit, and I don't know if you've seen it. I would recommend. I think it's a really good movie.
I did
enjoy it. I think it won some awards. And so sometimes that makes me steer away from things. if it won awards, I worry about it. But I decided to watch it, and it's... You know, it centers around the character Jojo, and he's really enthusiastic about joining Hitler's youth, and his imaginary friend is actually Hitler that he talks to, and it's I don't know how you'd categorize it, maybe dark humor, but it also has a very important storyline to it. And I am not kidding you, I watched it and I thought, if this is not an analogy to the way that Trump supporters are treated, the school system teaching the students that Jews are evil, that you should be afraid of them, That they are the source of all the problems. Anything and everything that goes wrong in society, it's the Jews. And you just listen to today the way Trump supporters are described. You know, they're awful, they're racist, they're evil, they're the cause of all problems in society. Anything that goes wrong, it's Trump supporters that do it. And I mean, it is, you watch that and you would, if you didn't know anything about history and you didn't know anything about Hitler and the Nazis, you would think it was a movie that is an analogy of what's going on today in America.
Well, you know, it's interesting. This is kind of an aside, but I have a good friend I've had for 30 years. He's a black attorney, and you know, he's a Democrat, and he sent me a text yesterday saying, look, Hillary was right about the Trump supporters being deplorable and going on and on. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, wait a minute. I didn't text him when right. BLM was all up in arms this year. And I thought that was kind of scary because, you know, this is an educated person.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and that's saying all this stuff. And so, I mean, you do feel like you're targeted. I mean, it's crazy. And I know we have to take a break, but I do have a unique perspective on this since I've had all the mass cases and
right.
It seems like I'm going against every city council in Missouri right now.
Well, and to the point about this, you know, that just categorizing an entire group of people as being deplorable, I go back to the socialist when they ran Germany and you know, targeting the Jews and all the Jews are deplorable. They're all bad, you know, and we look back, or we used to, and say, how is it that they managed to get so many people to buy into that? Well, look at this. Here's an intelligent attorney friend of yours.
Yeah,
that's behaving same way. That, they're right. All Jews are bad. Oh, Hillary's right. All Trump supporters are deplorable. And for educated people who pride themselves on understanding history and what leads to the atrocities of our past to fall so easily and welcomingly into those patterns, it is so, so frightening and so scary. We've got Chrissy Fulnecki with us. We'll continue on here in just a couple of moments. First, a traffic update with Jason Rima. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. All right, Chrissy Fulnecki with us. I want to clarify a point when I make the analogies or draw the comparisons to behaviors and beliefs and the characterizations of people as we see it today versus what we saw when the socialists ran Germany, is I'm not simply name-calling. I'm not saying they're Nazis, because we hear that too often. I mean, Trump's been called a Nazi. But I'm talking, and of course, those name-calling instances are never justified by any sort of evidence as to why they believe it. It's just name-calling. I'm talking about the way that people treat people. And what we are seeing and what we've seen before in history is a political party, and in Germany it was socialist, that took a segment of the population and demonized them and blamed them for all the problems and labeled all of them as deplorable and as evil, and in schools even. And we see it in the Springfield Public School District where they talk about MAGA, you know, supporting Trump is racist and so forth. And you know, that was done that you know, in schools, the indoctrinating, and that it is happening today. That exact approach is happening today. Every bad thing, that the storming of the Capitol yesterday, we have no idea who all was involved in that. What we do know is that facial recognition, according to the Washington Times, is indicating that to some degree, at least some of it's Antifa. But Democrats in the media and even some Republicans are assigning blame to Trump supporters, just like Jews used to be the source of all problems. And so when I make those comparisons, it's not just for the purposes, because I think that's way overdone, of calling someone a Nazi. I'm talking about the approach and the behavior and the parallels that are there, and the promises as human beings we made never to repeat those atrocities, yet we have a tremendous segment of the population that is doing just that. Chrissy Fulnecki with us.
Yes. Well, I do want to start on this, because it might take a minute. Well, you know, I still don't think, like, leaving the violence aside, anybody that thinks Trump endorsed the violence, when he's endorsed by every law enforcement agency in
right.
the country.
I know.
And I mean, really, I mean, has any of these politicians thought about that, or
no.
any of these people in the media? all the cops supported Trump. Do you think they're going to support violence? That doesn't make any sense. Okay, so that's, I got to get that out of the way. But I still don't think people in elected office have any understanding of the Trump movement. They have no idea, you know, granted the 0.01% of the people that got violent. I'm talking about the 99% of people that were in D.C. in the rally and the people that just wanted to be there because they wanted their country back. They have no understanding of why Trump was important, well, because he listened to them, but no idea about worried about losing our liberties, our freedoms, and our Bill of Rights. They have no connection. They still don't. You can tell with what they said yesterday.
Yeah.
And I have seen, it started, people have said, oh, well, it's just been since the shutdowns and everybody's getting frustrated. It was way before that. Yeah. I mean, this has been building for a long time. And, you know, my experience on city council and, you know, just the small little regulations that, you know, I guess some of them can be annoying, but some of them, you know, we would have people, you know, show up, whether it was the pit bull thing or other, you know, there's so many different issues that people feel like that their freedoms are being taken away. And, it, you know, when you and I talked during quarantine and the shutdowns, you know, they're like, well, how can the politicians not listen to us about the mask mandate or about going to virtual schools that parents don't want that? I said, they haven't been listening to you way before that. It's always been like that. There's never been an issue that highlighted the government control and the corruption until this issue. And I think it really brought people out and all, you know, and I think that's why I was flooded after I filed the first mask. I mean, I guess I'm the only one that has any COVID related lawsuits in Missouri. So whenever somebody wants to sue a government entity, another attorney is like, well, Christie does that. And so, you know, it's so sad because, you know, I tell them, well, you have a 50-50 chance. There's no precedent. You know, it depends on what judge you get. If you get an Obama-appointed judge, you probably don't have a chance. But, you know, good for these people for fighting for the rights. And then they say, you know, I've had so many people because they're like, we're in the silent majority. We're tired of being silent. By being silent, it hasn't helped us. So where do we go after we go to the politicians who don't listen to us? We go to the judge. If we get a liberal judge, then we're in trouble. What do we do? And I told them, I'm like, you're going to have to protest in the streets. Now, I'm not applying violence, but I was, you know, just like they did in Europe after the shutdowns. I mean, you see hundreds of thousands of people in the street. And I said, I can't really think of anything. Just, you know, try to defend your rights at a local level, a state level, and you're going to have to go to the streets. I don't know what else you can do after elected officials and your judiciary branch. And I mean, there's just so many. And another story to this whole thing is unelected officials having so much power in our country. And so we could talk about that too, but I just had to get that out there because people are so frustrated. I know on a local and a state level, so I'm sure times 50, it's all over the country, that they don't feel like that they were ever being listened to. And so that was the movement of Trump, and Trump related to these people and understood them, and spoke their language, so to speak.
Well, what they are looking to do now, and it's becoming very clear, is they are looking to utilize this event, and of course, part of it, whatever Antifa's level of involvement is, I'm sure is part of their goal as well, is to put the final bullet through the head of any freedom that's left. And the way that they're doing it is because they're, as you talk about the ability to protest, they are going to use this in order to take away the right of people to protest in ways that they don't like, pretty much like China. You know, I mean, you can protest things they approve of, but I mean, they are, the Kansas City Star, for example, editorial board is claiming that Josh Hawley is responsible for all of this. Blood is on his hands because he supported looking into alleged voter irregularities and fraud and you know, problems, constitutional issues with the states that violated the legislature's orders when it came to voting. And because Trump is talking about that and because people were upset about it, that is, all of that is responsible for it. So what they're doing is they are now tying people who question authority of their perspective to violence and to death. And so they're going to use that to criminalize people questioning authority. Cori Bush, the newly elected brilliant member of Congress in the St. Louis area. She is introducing legislation to purge Congress of any Republican who questioned the outcome of the election. Now, that's Saddam Hussein stuff. I mean, there's famous footage of Saddam Hussein in the late 70s when it comes to the Ba'ath Party convening a quote-unquote congressional event, getting everyone together and then coming in and having people removed that did not fall in line with him. That's what Cori Bush is introducing legislation to do. So what they're doing is they're saying, okay, you can run as a Republican, you can get elected as a Republican, but if you do anything that we disagree with, we will kick you out and replace you with someone who... There's no point in even having elections with a Cori Bush's perspective. And she's put on committees by Democrats. That is a very, very, very dangerous woman to want to purge Congress of people who, first off, are doing what they're allowed to do. I mean, it's part of procedure, who are doing what Democrats have done every election since 2000 in which they've lost, and that is challenge electors. But because they're Republicans, she wants to purge them. And I don't hear any condemnation of that at all. That is as scary as it can possibly get. We've got Christy Fulnecki with us. We're going to get a news update. Also, traffic with Jason Ryman. Continue on with Christy here on Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. Don Carricker, I want a great homeloan.com. Any home loan needs that you may have, I guarantee you, I can't imagine getting better service and more attention than you're going to with Don Carricker and his team. You know, as a former educator, he's really spent a lot of time crafting the process in a way that is as easy as possible. And he recognizes oftentimes what makes any sort of process stressful is not knowing what's going on, and he's very in tune with what the average person doesn't know about the process. So he and his team, they're always keeping you on the loop so that you're not stressed out. They're helping advise you and giving you bits of advice on what not to do during the process that you may not even think about that could throw a wrench in things. It's why so many people give 5 stars to Don Carricker and his team. Any of your home loan needs, it all starts easily at iwantagreathomeloan.com because you do. More with Christy Fulnecki in just a moment. First, Jason Reimer with the latest news update. Latest news update. KTTS First Alert forecast. Drizzle, snow today, mainly before 4. A high of 37. A chance of flurries early evening tonight, then down to 27 for a low. Clouds 36 tomorrow, Saturday partly sunny, a high of 37 expected. Currently 34 with some rain and snow mixed together. We've got Christy Fulnecki with us. I want to reiterate something. Now, for this Cori Bush, I don't think people realize how dangerous some of these people are. And I'm not just throwing that around. I'm explaining to you why. Now, number one, she is allowed to go on national television and claim that if these protesters were black, they would have been shot. But because they're white, they're not. When a white female veteran was shot inside the Capitol, yet she's allowed to go on air, and the media allows these lies to be spread. This is a woman who has announced she is introducing legislation to purge Congress of any Republican that question the integrity of the election after 4 years of Democrats telling us that the election was illegitimate and stolen by Russia. Is this really what we want? Is this really? I don't think people understand the ramifications. We keep hearing, Republicans act as if, these things happen. Democrats get control for a while, then we get control. It isn't about Democrats having control. It's about what the Democrat Party is today. And we have people in control today. They want to blame Trump supporters for all the problems in the country and that are openly talking about adding states, packing the court. They are openly talking about purging opposition party members that don't fall in line. We've visually seen that sort of thing happen in the late 70s in Iraq under Saddam Hussein. And a media that is doing everything they can in order to make sure that that stuff happens. Christy Fulnecki is with us. We got a text on the Queen City Motors talk and text line. Christy gets it. I wish she would take Roy Blunt's seat.
All right, maybe someday I will.
Well, you don't have a lot going on.
I know. I'm not out of politics for a while. I didn't. As I said, I didn't really want to take any of these cases because I knew I'd get a bunch of death threats.
Yeah.
But, you know, I kind of felt like God's telling me this is what you need to do right now. And every time I get a case, I'm like, do you have somebody in Kansas City or St. Louis or Columbia or somewhere? You know, I'm like a solo practitioner. And they tell me, Christy, nobody will take my case. Nobody wants to be in the limelight. Nobody wants to stand up. And it goes back to, you know, what we've talked about before, you know, whether it be, you know, our local city councilor and local leaders in the chamber, everybody's like, well, you can't stand up. You can't make a scene. You know, you can't speak up. And you're seeing that in the national leaders that, you know, if they stand up against the crowd, then, I mean, they're just not only are, you know, they're made to look like fools. I mean, now, you know, who knows what's going to happen to them?
Well, they get punished.
And, you know, I can. Yeah, they get punished.
And, totally punished.
You know, on a local level, like I could tell you, like myself and an old council member, Justin Burnett, he was the only conservative. And I'm telling you, they beat us down and beat us down at every vote. And I thought, well, I mean, I'm just voting the way that I think on this certain issue.
Well, they beat him into submission because he eventually became one of them. Yeah. Well, and that's their goal.
Because it's easier. I mean, it's easier to go along with the crowd because then you're like, oh, I'm in the club. But how dangerous is that for democracy that you don't have anybody speak up? And, you know, this morning everybody's saying, oh, we need to call for a peaceful transition. You think Trump wasn't going to do a peaceful transition just because he's fighting against corruption and against unconstitutional actions with these voting laws? Do you think he really wasn't going to do a peaceful transition? Of course he was.
Well, and the thing, right. And what they used to point to as evidence is that, well, he's fighting it. He's fighting it in the court system. That is how this system works. But this, again, is the frightening authoritarian control that the Democrats are pushing on the American people, is that if you are not one of them, you aren't even allowed to use our judicial system. If you do, you will be demonized. If you do, you will be accused of doing something wrong. I mean, Trump, every single step that he's taken, simply been using the legal system as it is supposed to be accessible to every single American. But, I mean, you would act as if he was committing some sort of coup for doing that. It is so extremely dangerous that they are setting this stage for this sort of belief system and idea. And what's scary is they convince a lot of Americans to believe that way.
Yeah. And okay, so the female senator Kelly, is it Loeffler? I can't always miss. Yeah. Okay, so that's a good example. Somebody that was speaking up and saying, I'm not going to, you know, certify or, you know, go along with these unconstitutional actions, this electors. And then she turns around and changes her mind.
Yeah.
So you think, Are you saying that to get elected? Are you saying that because you're afraid to speak out? Right. Or, you know, that's a perfect example of somebody that was going to take a stand and change your mind at the last minute.
Right. Because it calls into question. Why did you take that stance? Just like you said. So are you saying that that was something you believed in, but now you're going to turn your back on what you believe in because of some rioters? You are going to allow your decision making to be dictated by a handful of people that stormed a Capitol? I mean, good riddance, I guess, then if she loses.
Well, yeah, and I don't think it's that. I think it's because she thought she might be blamed, like they're saying to Holly. The media and the Democrats, I think she was more scared of that than anybody that came into the Capitol. You know, and all of those people had a responsibility. I mean, it was so unconstitutional because of those four battleground states. They went to those judges and all the unelected officials. And then they went to the Democrats of the executives, and they totally circumvented the legislatures in those states. So once it arrived in D.C., it was unconstitutional to begin with. So, I mean, that's why these people are taking a stand, because all of these election laws in those states were unconstitutional because the Constitution had assigned it to the state legislatures, and they totally circumvented that process. And then to have very few people, you know, senators and congressmen, you know, the people that actually stand up, I mean, these senators, I just can't believe it. I mean, especially our local one, for our state, for not standing up for something that's unconstitutional. I mean,
well,
it's
just
crazy to me.
Where the worry is, too, there is this idea, and this is where a lot of elected Republicans and party officials, they find comfort in telling themselves that, well, whenever Democrats get control of everything, it's inevitable. Eventually, people are like, oh, well, we don't like this one-party rule, so we're going to choose someone else. What they appear to not understand is that Democrats have gotten to the point where they are not allowing that to happen anymore. They will not allow that to happen. You have, again, Cori Bush working to purge Republicans in office that don't fall in line. You've got elections that clearly, I mean, you get Democrat judges that change the rules at the last minute. We have the allowance of, you know, there were, I think, over, was it 10,000 votes in one of the areas that were said to be mail-in, yet they weren't folded. There were no fold lines in it, which meant that they hadn't been mailed in. All of these things occurring. And so why on earth do Republicans think that Democrats are going to allow them to have power again? It's just mind-boggling how absolute naive they can be. It's frightening.
Well, because look at what they did in these states. Like, this was way before the election. Trump's the only one that caught on to it. And where were the Republicans? Trump and Giuliani have been saying forever that they were going to try to steal the election. Well, where are the Republicans to try to help in this cause? And so then you try to do it after the fact, and you're like, well, this is a big mess. And so, you know, I mean, the most sacred thing is having your elections be legitimate. And so, and if people can't have any faith in their elections, I mean, where do you go from there? Like I said, like, you go to your elected officials, you go to judiciary. Well, okay, we're going to vote people out of office. Well, if that's not legitimate, you seriously don't live in a democracy. I mean, that is just crazy to me. And I mean, thank goodness for somebody like Trump. I mean, that the silver lining in all this is that we had a person that fought to the very end. And, you know, and I just hope that conservatives know that that's still the right thing to do, is that we have people that will, you know, conservatives, hopefully that'll run for office, that'll get involved on a local level, you know, try to turn the shutdowns around and try to make a difference and at least try to change these election laws back today. I'm hoping that Hawley and Cruz at least have some sort of an investigation too on what happened with the election. But, you know, I don't know if that's going to happen.
Some of the Republicans,
I mean, they need to get some closure. They need to get some closure to the half the country that voted for Trump, or more than half the country.
No, I think it's done. It's over with in terms of any hope that that can happen. I don't know what's going to happen. I think that probably the Republican Party, for all intents and purposes, is dead. I mean, it will be allowed to exist as a minority party as long as they don't get out of line. And, you know, they'll be given certain parameters as to what they can question and push back on. But ultimately, the stage is being set to put them on notice, what they are allowed to do and say and support. But, you know, I've listened to a number of Republicans that I understand from an intellectual position that there is some validity to their argument that all of this stuff had to be allowed to occur in order to protect the Constitution. You know, Senator Cotton of Arizona, Dana Lash had a congressman on from Texas who also was talking about that and how, you know, we have to preserve the Constitution and allow this election to play out, even if it was stolen. And to me, it's like protecting the Constitution so somebody can come in and destroy it. It's meaningless now. I mean, it is. It's absolutely. When I was a teenager and I was doing news at a radio station, I remember there was a story, I think it was in Oklahoma, and there was somebody that was on death row, and it was like the day before, or even maybe the day of, the execution. They had a heart attack, or they tried to kill themselves. Well, anyway, they were revived and then executed. And I thought, well, that was kind of pointless and stupid. And I feel as if, you know, because what, you just saved someone's life so you could turn around and kill them. And it just seemed as if what happened is you had some saying, well, we have to allow Democrats to come in and destroy the Constitution for the name of preserving it, or in the name of preserving it. And, okay, it's fine, but there's a reality to that. And people will argue maybe it wasn't the right thing to do, but Lincoln and other presidents have made decisions in the past. Now, Lincoln, he completely violated the right to the free press because he was at a point when it came to the Civil War and recognizing that, well, the country will cease to exist if I don't do this. So I can preserve the Constitution and the country so it can be destroyed, or I can make a violation in order to save it. And you know, these decisions have been made in the past, but there's a reality to it. And I think Republicans need to wake up and stop living in la-la land, and they need to stop pretending as if the Constitution has any meaning, because it really doesn't anymore. I mean, it's a free-for-all, and whoever has the strongest will at this point is the victor. And that's what we've seen with the last election. And as long as you have Democrats that are submitting legislation to purge Republicans out of office, and I mean, they're not going to pull back. It's not like Democrats are going to get less extreme. They continue to get more extreme.
Yeah.
I want to take a break here, and Jason Ryan is standing by for traffic. More with Christy Fulnecki here in moments. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. Christy Fulnecki joining us this morning.
Yes. You know, I was kind of thinking, you're talking about the media, and we always talk about how much power they have. You know, I hope Trump starts his own media company. And, you know, we just keep having alternative sources. You know, when Fox started, everybody's like, oh, wow, you know, we have an alternative, to, at least on to watch TV. You know, and then when Rush started, you're like, oh, wow, we have conservatives on the radio. And so I just hope that more and more that it changes, that we can get our message out there more. And hopefully Trump will do that. We need more people like Trump in the country. We need people that are, you know, that are fighters. And we need to carry the message that just because you speak out doesn't mean you're going to commit violence and that you're crazy. I mean, I think the past 5 to 10 years, they've been trying to label conservatives as, oh, these are crazy people. You know, and
here's where I think the Democrats have gotten us. And a lot of people have also talked about this, Trump starting some sort of, you know, news network of sorts. I think that Democrats have gotten so authoritarian. Freedom of press is meaningless to them, just like the rest of the Constitution. I don't think they'll let it happen.
Yeah.
I think that they will, in any way that they can, use the law to block it from happening, and in ways that they may not, they will threaten the private sector. Any, you know, even if he were able to start one, that requires different outlets to carry it, like DirecTV and Dish Network and these cable networks. Well, you know how woke some of them are, or how afraid they are of free speech and afraid of Democrats clamping down on them. It would in no way, shape, or form surprise me if they would refuse to carry the network. And so the freedom of press is dead in this country, because you have these media outlets that the mainstream media, it's all one lockstep voice. There's no variety any longer with those mainstream outlets. And anyone else who comes along on a large platform and they'll stop it from happening. There's no free press in this country any longer.
Well, you know, one thing I think, too, it'll be interesting to see. It's a little bit different subject, but to see what's going to happen with these shutdowns and all this virtual and everything. It'll be interesting to see if Biden talks to these governors that are Democrats, and whether they decide to open things up and become the heroes, or whether they continue the shutdown. I think that's going to be really interesting to see if Biden tries to take credit for certain things like that, or whether we're still going to be in the same position for the year.
Here's the other thing. I don't think Democrats are no longer worried about producing positive results to, like you say, brag about. I mean, once upon a time, that's what they would want to do, right? They would think, what can we do that is going to result in positive things for the people? I don't think that matters to them anymore. I mean, look at all the cities they run.
Wow, that's a good point.
They don't care. Yeah. I mean, they literally allowed, in some instances, rioters to burn down buildings and take, and they just let them do it. So, and it didn't matter to them how they looked. It didn't matter. I mean, look at Andrew Cuomo. This is a guy that's responsible for the highest percentage of COVID deaths in the country, thousands upon thousands, forcing COVID patients into nursing homes. And he's running around on a book tour as if he did something wonderful. They don't care about results that are positive any longer. All they care about is power. And this is part of the reason that we're seeing these elections go the way that they are, is because, you know, it's just power, and it isn't about the people any longer. Christy Fulnecki, thank you as always for joining us.
Yes.
All right. We'll talk to you.
Great.
All right.
Still have hope. Conservatives are still here.
Yep, we are for now anyway. Thank you.
I'll talk to you later. You're welcome.
All right, bye now. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. Jason Rima with traffic. People sometimes misinterpret what freedom is. They think freedom means that government has allowed them to do something. That's not freedom. Freedom is your ability to do something because you are a human and you have God-given rights, and government can't tell you whether or not to do it. And so when I talk about we don't have a free press in this country any longer, that doesn't mean that there aren't certain entities that aren't allowed to say things that are, or you know, that aren't saying things critical. It's just that at this point, it is happening because our government has not shut it down. Now, in some instances, they do. Freedom really just in its truest form doesn't exist any longer in this country. We've got news coming up next. I'm Nick Reed.